Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and happy Monday. Welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to catch you up on what you might have missed over the weekend. Today, a Lancaster County man accused of stealing human remains from a Philly area cemetery is also under investigation for the theft of two bodies from a mausoleum in Luzerne County. And we're celebrating a year of reading with bookmarks, with some of your favorite reads of 2025. It's Monday, January 12th. Let's get you up to date. First, some news from Lackawanna County. A Dunmore police officer turned himself in on Friday for taking cocaine from a borough evidence locker and using it. As WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk reports, the officer may have jeopardized criminal cases against drug suspects.
Just 2 hours after he finished his Thanksgiving Day shift, Dunmore Police Sergeant Stefan Burgett's fellow officers found him unconscious at his department desk. As it turned out, according to Lackawanna County detectives, blood tests showed Burgett passed out from ingesting fentanyl and cocaine. Investigators found about 6 grams of cocaine missing from the borough's evidence room. The detectives charged him with cocaine possession, tampering with evidence, and obstructing the law. In an interview later, the 10-year veteran of the force told detectives he used cocaine from the evidence room for about 3 months because of family problems. District Attorney Brian Gallagher said he may have to withdraw criminal charges against some suspects because of what Burgett did.
Since this opened up, we're doing a complete inventory of every case in the Dunmore evidence room to ensure there are no other cases. Now, every case that he's involved in, we obviously have an ethical and legal duty to disclose that he's under investigation for a crime of deceit or dishonesty, which would be theft. So it could have an effect. We haven't made any determination on that yet. That still all is under review.
Dunmore put Burgett on unpaid leave. He earned more than $83,000 a year. His lawyer declined to comment. Gallagher said he was saddened because he thought the world of Burgett as an officer.
Unfortunately, kind of went down the wrong path. Has to be held accountable like everybody else. Feel bad that this happened, but really disappointed and shocked.
I'm Boris Krauchenyuk, WVIA News.
Thanks, Boris. Find more of that story at WVIA.org. In more crime news, a Lancaster County man accused of stealing human remains from a Philadelphia area cemetery is also under investigation in connection with November's theft of two bodies from Good Shepherd Memorial Park in Luzerne County. WVIA's Isabella Weiss has that story.
Court records say detectives noticed similarities between southeastern Pennsylvania and Plains Township body theft cases, including how the suspect gained entry to the vaults and took human remains. Police in Lancaster County received a tip last month that 34-year-old Jonathan Gerlach from Ephrata had remains in the basement of his home, and they should look into Gerlach as a suspect in the Good Shepherd case in Luzerne County. According to an affidavit, police said a tipster told them a family friend had seen a partially decomposed male body, quote, hanging like a display, end quote, in Gerlach's basement, and he had been involved in selling body parts online. Police said they found the remains of over 100 people in Gerlach's car, home, and a storage locker. They say he confessed to stealing bones from Mount Moriah Cemetery in suburban Philadelphia. The theft of two people's bodies from Good Shepherd Mausoleum in November remains under investigation. Police collected physical evidence, including cigarette butts and energy drink cans, there and at Mount Moriah, and have sent them in for testing. Gerlach is charged for numerous counts of burglary, breaking and entering, abuse of a corpse, and intentional desecration of a public monument in Lancaster and Delaware counties in the Mount Moriah case. No charges have been filed in the Luzerne County case. Gerlach's bail is set at $1 million, with a scheduled preliminary hearing on January 20th in Delaware County. Isabella Weiss, WVIA News.
Thanks, Isabella. Find the full story on this at WVIA.org. Now we turn to Philadelphia, where protesters united in, quote, grief and rage Thursday night outside City Hall, following the shooting death of Renee Nicole Good by an Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer in Minneapolis. Corey Sharber has more for WVIA.
Rooted like a tree. Rooted like a tree.
More than 1,000 people gathered in Center City decrying the use of force in the Minneapolis shooting, along with ISIS presence in the Philadelphia area. ICE operations in Philly have been reported since January 2025, resulting in protests and misreports of spikes in detentions, local law enforcement agencies collaborating with ICE, and threats of deportations. Through a translator, Erica Guadalupe Nunez, the executive director of immigrants' rights nonprofit Juntos, said Wednesday's deadly shooting was not an isolated incident.
And let us be honest. If ICE is willing to shoot an ally, a white woman, in the face for documenting abuse, it is our duty to expose and condemn what they have done and will continue to do to black and brown people behind closed doors.
NPR reports the shooting occurred on a residential street in South Minneapolis, less than a mile from where George Floyd was killed by police in 2020.
That was Corey Sharber reporting. Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
I'm Roger Dupuy from WVIA News. If you haven't already, sign up to get our free newsletter, WVIA News Notes. It's delivered right to your email inbox each Tuesday and Friday mornings. Go to WVIA.org and click on newsletters to subscribe.
Welcome back. Well, it's a new year, and that means time for a new reading goal, and time to start the to-be-read pile with the latest bookmarks. My dear readers, you have my deepest gratitude. Because of all of you, we've been able to read together for a full year. I want to thank all of you for coming along for the bookmarks ride over the past year. What started as an idea for a single story became a year of reading and connection with friends, neighbors, and listeners. Now, to celebrate our year of reading, I asked some of our past participants to recommend their favorite read of 2025. And like I said last January, the 2026 to-be-read pile starts now.
Hey guys, it's your favorite host, Amber Viola, and my book recommendation for the year is Circe. It is a novel by Madeline Miller. She also wrote a top 3 book favorite of mine, Song of Achilles. Circe is about a woman who is born to the gods, but still does not feel good enough and is still, as a woman, trying to find her place in the world. She finds this power that she has within herself, but there's still dangers of a woman just trying to navigate the world alone. This is a beautiful story about strength and triumph and love, and I highly recommend this book.
Hi, my name is Bridget Lawrence, and I'm the owner of Friendly Alien Books in downtown Scranton. 2025 was a great year for books and reading, and while it's hard for me to choose just one to talk about, I am going to pick The Everlasting by Alex E. Harrow. The story starts with historian Owen Mallory on a quest to uncover lost texts about the mythical, ethereal Lady Knight Una Everlasting. She is the most important person in his country's founding. Una is essentially a King Arthur figure for the fictional country of Dominion. But with civil unrest boiling around him, Owen is mysteriously gifted the text he is looking for. One thing leads to another, and Owen is sent back in time to make sure that Una's story ends the way it's supposed to. And that's about all I can say about the plot without spoiling anything. But what unfolds is one of the most beautiful love stories I've read in a long time. Harrow does a great job of making readers care deeply about these characters and tug at the heartstrings the entire time. I got to the end and truly wished I could reread it for the first time immediately. And while that love story is hauntingly beautiful, Harrow also weaves in an even more important story: how governments work to control the narratives in their countries, how propaganda spreads in the first place, and the fact that history is mostly told through the eyes of the victors. It is a stark reminder of the importance of truth and freedom in a functioning society. and Harrow's ability to merge these two plots into one mesmerizing story is a feat in itself, and I cannot stop recommending this book to everybody.
Hi, this is Brittany Shoemaker from The Charming Church Mouse, and I'm here to share my favorite book I read in 2025. I chose to highlight You Are Fatally Invited by Andy Polygo. This debut thriller centers around an anonymous mystery writer, J.R. Alistair. J.R. hires Mila, an aspiring writer, to act as an event coordinator and help run a retreat for six famous thriller authors on a private island off the coast of Maine. As with all thrillers, there's a catch. Each author has been chosen because they've personally been involved in committing a crime, and with that comes consequences. Mila has her eyes on one of the authors, particularly with whom she is seeking revenge on. Let the games begin! The week turns deadly when an unexpected murder occurs, and Mila realizes that she too is now part of the game, and J.R. Alistair is following their own course of action. Who is the anonymous Alistair anyway? What crimes did these authors commit? Will anyone come out of this alive? This novel is very reminiscent of Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None, and fits right along with films like Clue and Knives Out. This book is fun, uses some traditional mystery tropes, and adds some new surprises as well.
I'm Lydia McFarlane, WVIA's healthcare reporter. I read 62 books this year and rated about 13 at 5 stars. Out of all of those 5-star reads, Heart the Lover by Lily King rose to the top. The book serves as both a prequel and a sequel to King's earlier book, Writers and Lovers. The first half of the book takes us through our heroine's college experience, who is lovingly nicknamed Jordan by two boys she meets in her senior year of college. The boys, Sam and Yash, are best friends and the three become inseparable. Then, a complicated tangle of emotions ensues, and Jordan ends up romantically involved with both at two different points throughout their senior year. Decades later, Jordan has moved on from the passion and drama of her youth and rarely thinks of the few months she spent in a whirlwind love triangle with the boys. But surprise news about one of them sends her hurtling back in time, reliving her first heartbreak and the heartache she never fully processed, while preparing for the worst in the present. This book was beautifully written and truly captured the essence of what it means to be young and a little bit dumb. It also made me reflect on my own college experience and think about what memories will follow me through life and shape the rest of my adulthood. Heart the Lover is heart-wrenching, but also so beautifully explores what it means to love others, how our decisions impact ourselves and those around us, and how our past is not always so far in the rear view.
Find the full list of this week's recommendations at WVIA.org or tune in tomorrow for more. All right, I hope you're feeling up to date and ready for the week. Find more stories, as always, at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to stay in the know, make sure you subscribe and listen every weekday wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.